Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. Our Sunday worship times are 9 and 10:45 a.m. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. This week, Pastor Russ continues our theme, Toolkit for 2021, with a sermon titled, Power Tools. Scripture comes from Philippians 3, 12 through 14.
There's a scripture that we're keeping in front of us all throughout this month and into February. I think it's really a great practice to begin to commit scripture to memory. Some of us grew up on that. Some of us grew up away from that. It was not part of my practices growing up. Somehow we were in a phase where that wasn't considered good to do. So there's a lot of us who just didn't do that, even as there are some who did. I'd like to bring it back, and I'd like to ask you that you would consider keeping this one in front of us this month. We have it on little little business-sized cards. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully, and then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I think that's not only a good scripture, I think it's a good invitation. You don't have to raise hands, but I wonder, as you were looking at that, I wonder if you believe that if that were to become true more and more in your life this year, that would make a difference in your life. That if you were to live into and experience more and more the fullness of the life and the power that comes from God, would that make a difference in your life? Would that make a difference in your family, your friends, your community, your work, your church? Would that make a difference? I say that because this is the time of year when we make resolutions, and or we sometimes make resolutions, because we have this sense, and I heard it this week, maybe you did too. Did you hear any of this? Maybe you felt it. It's a new year. Boy, it's good to have 2019 in my rearview mirror, and there's a sense of a fresh start. Okay, this is a new year. There's going to be a fresh start. We would love to have a fresh start. And sometimes we mark that by saying, okay, we're going to make some changes. I'm going to do some things. I'm going to eat less. I am going to exercise more. I'm going to watch less TV. I'm going to get more sleep. I'm going to learn French. You know, all those things that we do, because we sense there's something in us that, boy, if we could make some changes, that would make a difference. We would be better if we did some of those things. Now, there's a lot of us who don't make those resolutions anymore because we don't really think they're going to happen. And you can only go around the circle a number of times and you go, well, then what's the point? I'm going to contend that there's a couple reasons that resolutions fail in my life and they fail in your life. And sometimes the one thing is, it's just not that compelling. Sure, I'd love to learn French, but really? But more to that, it's not compelling because it's not consistent with who I see myself to be. And so I could put out lofty goals about how I'm going to read more and watch less, but there gets to be that point when I finally let down and the adrenaline goes down. It's not just doesn't really feel like me. And the second reason is we don't feel like we've got the right tools, or we just don't have the right tools in order to get there. And so that is nowhere more true than when it comes to the spiritual goals. Do not raise your hand on this one, but I'm going to guess that whether you made a formal resolution or you just made one of those things as you're laying in bed at night, as you're coming into the year, you know, this year, I'm going to get closer to God. Now, I'm going to draw closer to God. Anytime you say that, can I just tell you, you have already sealed your doom, because that is an absolutely doomed resolution. It will always fail. And it will always fail in part because of the scripture that's part of our scripture of the day. Paul is writing to a church in Philippi. And what he says is this. He says, not that I have already obtained this idea of what God wants for me in my life, the fullness of the fullness of God, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That phrase, boy, there's an umbrella. Under that umbrella, there is a ton of theology, there's a ton of experience, and that's this, is that you and I don't get close to God because God is already close to us. We don't seize and we don't go after and we don't accomplish anything in the spiritual life other than respond to what God has already done. I know as soon as we say, I'm going to get closer to God, what we've done is we have set up this world where God is here and somehow I have gotten over here. And somehow I'm going to get closer to God. It can't be done because God isn't here. God's right here. God is, as in the book of Acts, God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. And there's nowhere you're going to go this year, and there's nothing you're going to do where God isn't already there. So as soon as we set it up that I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do more of this, because somehow I got to go and find God and get closer to God, we're already doing something that can't be done, and we've already set it up that this is an issue of my willpower, and this is an issue of my own accomplishment, and it's how much I'm going to be able to love and want God. This passage says it has nothing to do with it. This passage says it has everything to do with how much God already wants and loves you. And anything you and I do, we do in response. It is like sympathetic vibrations. As I am talking, do you know that your vocal cords are already moving in sympathetic vibration to my voice? And whatever I am saying, they're already resonating a little bit like this. That's exactly what the spiritual life is. We sense this and we say, oh, look what I am doing. We're not doing it. All we are doing is we are responding to the presence and we are responding to the love of God that continues to chase after, grab hold, and want us. We don't accomplish. All we do is we recognize and then we align ourselves with what God is already trying to do. Now, there is work, but it is a completely different work, isn't it? One of the great poems in the Christian tradition by a guy named Francis Thompson is called The Hound of Heaven. And it talks about grace as the hound of heaven. Grace, and it's not the easiest poem. It was written in the 1890s, and so a lot of that kind of language, archaic language for us today. But you read it, and you think about it, and you listen to it, and it still has this power that there's nowhere you're going that God isn't chasing after you, and not chasing after you to hurt you, to harm you, not to bare teeth, but to be with you. And you can't get away from that. All you can do is to stop and turn around, which, by the way, is what the word repent means. Is stop running in the wrong direction and realize that God is right there. There is nothing you're going to do this year that's going to make you go further from God. It's an illusion, that separation. There'll be things that you and I do that reject God, ignore God, distract ourselves from God. But wherever we are, all we ever have to do is to recognize that God is chasing and God is right there. And to recognize and to align our lives. Spiritual growth is not a goal that we somehow accomplish. It's a reality that we get to realize. We get to revel in it. We get to experience in it. I'm not there yet, Paul says. I'm not perfect. I'm not close to God. But here's what I do. Here's what I do. I recognize that anything that's going on in me and that thing that actually feels like me, it's my truest self, that right there, that's God chasing after me. That's where I begin to recognize what God is doing. And anything I do that's going to have any value starts there.
As this sermon is broken up into two parts, I want to give some announcements of things coming up at New Hope for the week of January 13 through the 18th. We have Exploring New Hope coming up on the 18th from 9 to 11 a.m. This is a class for anybody that's considering joining New Hope or simply want to know more about what we have to offer. We invite you to Exploring New Hope as we discuss our values, history, and opportunities for growth. If you want more info and you want to register, go to our website and click on events. We also have a Good Goats class coming up in 2 weeks, and this is led by Victoria Arnett and Joy Barklage. And this class is all about healing our image of God. And it's 4 weeks. It's from January 26th through February 16th. In the Castle Rock Room, you could pick up the book in Fellowship Hall for $12. We also have Theology on Tap coming up on January 14th. This is at Wild Blue Yonder Brewery, downtown Castle Rock. And we have Rabbi Jacob coming to talk to us about the basics of Judaism. We meet in the Carriage House, which is kind of the small shack in the back of the brewery. Come on out, have a beer, discuss the topic of Judaism with Rabbi Jacob. Hopefully we'll see you there. Those are some of the announcements for this week. Enjoy the second part of the sermon.
This year's going to be different. That's what we tell ourselves. And it's not just delusional. It is actually aspirational. We want it to be different. There's something inside of us that wants to and senses that something could and should change. We would love that idea of something that brings us fully into the fullness of God, to live into the life and the power of God. And in a church, this church, any church, we have things we would love to be true about our life. But anyone who has lived any length of time will know that no matter how hard we try, we fail. And so sometimes we give up, or sometimes we try again. But underneath there's this sense of failure. And there's this sense of whatever it is, maybe I'm just not spiritual enough. Maybe there's something deeply wrong with me. Maybe I should just fake it. Everybody else seems to have it together. And we'll just go along. This morning, I want to hold out a different alternative, because the result is this sense of guilt and shame, which is a completely wasted emotion and contrary to everything that Christ stands for and that what Paul is advocating for us here. Here's the full passage. The first part we've already read. Not that I've already attained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I don't consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. We have been looking at, in the first part I said, we usually have the wrong goals, the idea that somehow this is something we have to gen up, we have to manufacture, we have to accomplish, we have to get closer to God. But I'm going to say that the second part is, and not only have the wrong goal, we have the wrong strategy for getting there. This series is talking about the tools and the toolkit for 2021, and that's not a typo. It is to say, next January 2021, what would you like to think about? How would you like to think of yourself? What kind of changes would you like to see? What would you love to be able to claim? And now, what are the things that we need to begin to work on now so that that can happen? It recognizes that this is a process. This is not quick. If it was quick, you'd already have done it. I'm talking about the stuff that's hard. I'm talking about the stuff that's inside of us that's hard. So what would we do? And we were talking about some of the tools that we would have. And so last week I talked about, and this is out of our the New Hope Way, the 5x5, and that there are five strengths, five tools that are necessary. And one of them is a sense, a purpose. I know why I am here. I know the reason I exist in this time and place. The second one has to do with people, that you have a group of people who are committed to your growth and you are committed to theirs. The third has to do with this sense of a profile. I know who I am. I know I have what my strengths and my gifts and my talents. I know what my experiences are. I know what it is I bring to the table of this life. I know what I bring to this world every day, and I have a place to put it where it's making a difference.
My hope, my goal is that every one of us in 2021, this time next year, would be able to say, I have that. I know who I am. I know why I'm here. I've got people who I can count on, and they can count on me for growing. I know what my gifts and my talents, I know what my strengths are. I know what I bring to the party, and I have a place to put it. Would that not make a difference in your life? Would that not make a difference in your family, your church, your community, your world? Yes. And no, because there's a fifth thing that's missing. And without this, the rest just stays where it does every year. And so I have said that the five tools are a purpose, people, a profile, a place, and then the practices that sustain them. The practices that sustain them. If we don't have the practices in place, the power for these tools, then the tools just sit on the counter. They don't do anything. We can have all kinds of great tools, but if we haven't got something that puts them into motion and that keeps them going, and that thing is practices. Paul says, beloved, I don't consider it that I've made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal. It's a practice. It's a habit. I'm going to keep getting up. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep after it, just like any other goal in my life, just like any other thing that's worthwhile. It's going to take some work, and it's going to take some practice, and it's going to require that the power source for this is different than what you and I have been taught. You and I have grown up with, I'll own it for myself, I have grown up with that the idea that the thing that will power that is that I will be inspired. So I come to church to get inspired. I read books to get inspired. I come and I listen to speakers, and I do that, and I put things in front of me that inspire me, and then I want to go out and do that. And if that doesn't work, what's the flip side of that? Guilt. All right, if that doesn't work, then guilt will get you going. Guilt will make you give. Guilt will make you generous. Guilt will help you serve. And so we have these two things that we power this tool, all these tools by, and there's a reason why they always fail, because they're never enough and they're never sufficient, because even when they work, they create people that we were not meant to be. The biggest change in me, the biggest changes in my life, is when I have learned how to put this power of habit and practices. And there's nothing sexy about it. There's nothing glamorous about it. It just works. And without it, it doesn't work. Is this biblical? Oh my goodness, is this biblical? Listen to Luke chapter 4. Jesus comes in as Jesus is announcing his ministry. And there's this little phrase in there that Jesus, the Lord of life, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, when he comes into Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. It was his practice to show up on those gatherings as a synagogue. It was his practice to learn and to think about Scripture. That was part of Jesus' practice. Paul, when you read in the book of Acts, and you begin to see that before they were called Christians, the early followers of Jesus were called people of the way. Now, because of the translations, and sometimes they will put it in lowercase, but more and more translators have started to put it in uppercase. So Saul, before he was Paul, asked the high priest for letters to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, men or women, that's who the Christians were. They were called people of the way. And throughout the book of Acts, you will see that Apollos comes onto the scene. Here's somebody who was well known in the way. Before it was a religion, followers of Jesus were known as people of the way because it was a practice. There was a way that we're going to live our life. There were certain habits. There were certain things we were going to do differently. Later on, they got to be called Christians because they did it so well, they thought they were making fun of them, and the word Christian just means little Christs, and it wasn't meant to be a compliment. They took it as a compliment. But it was meant to be a derogatory word. Look at all these people running around like little Christs all over the world. But they started off and they got that way and noticed because they were people of the way. There was practices. They were things doing. If you go
if you go and look through any of the letters of Paul, and you start to look through the glasses of what are the practices, they are all over the place. It's all about practice. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's a practice. Give thanks in everything. That's a practice. Encourage one another. When you gather together, Paul says, do it this way. Here's a habit we're going to build in. Here's what you do about anger, and here's what you do with forgiveness. They are habits to get into because it is habits that change us. It is the habits and the practices. It's an old adage, an old proverb. It says, knowledge is only a rumor until it lives in the bones. And isn't that the truth? You can know everything you want to know. I can know everything I want to know, I could possibly know about exercise, about the equipment, about heart rates, about optimal levels. It does me no good until I actually exercise. I can know everything that I need to know and fill up my head with all kinds of concepts about God. I can fill up all kinds of concepts and know everything about prayer. I can lead workshops on prayer. But until I actually pray and make that a habit, I know nothing. And the same is true for service. Or generosity, gratitude, community. I can know everything about community, except how to be in it, except how to do the hard work of it. And nothing changes until I put it into practice, and still until it begins to live in my bones. So I have suggested, and I'm holding out, that here are some practices. This is how we grow at New Hope. In this coming year, there are some focusing questions, and if you'd like to go on to the webpage around the Everyday Spirituality off our homepage, you can look at that. Fuller explanation, more is coming. But there are these focusing questions that you keep in front of you throughout your day and your night and your living. And then daily acts of kindness, gratitude, and service. Five things that push you into a little bit more service, a little bit more gratitude, a little bit more kindness. Five times this week, nurture the things that make your soul grow. What would those be? Because if you don't practice, put this into practice, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how inspired we are. It doesn't matter how guilty I feel. If I don't actually change my behavior, nothing really changes. 5 hours of service in that place where you take the best of who you are and bring it to a place that makes a difference. Again, these are, just start here. Same thing for giving. Take 5% of your income and give it, separate it out from you, and put it into a place for the cause of Christ. You choose. Because we can talk about generosity, but until we actually do the hard work of separating out and giving and making it a habit, it's just a rumor. And too many of us live from rumor to rumor. Every year we try, but we don't put it into practice. It is the difference in a power tool between being run on a battery that goes down and needs to be charged and being connected with a wire. Because no matter how much inspiration we have, it's going to run down. Now I have to recharge it. And we charge it with being either inspired or feeling guilty too many times. And the practice is so much more powerful than passion. Let me just give you three quick examples that prove it in my mind. How many people, and you can raise your hand, how many people think it's important to read the Bible, if not every day, 5 times a week? You can raise your hand, right? Now you're not going to have to own any of this, so if you just think that's important, okay. How many people think it's important that you brush your teeth every day? Okay, now then, put your hands down. You are not going to do anything else. How many people were better at brushing their teeth than they were at reading the Bible? Again, don't answer. Don't answer that one. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm trying to make a point. We do that because it's a habit. It's automatic. You do it unthinkingly. You wake up in the morning and you brush your teeth, or before you go to bed, you brush your teeth, or it's after a meal and you're doing all those things because you have made it a habit. And my guess is your dental hygiene is probably better than your prayer life or reading the Bible. Why?
Is it because we're not good? Is it because we are failures? No, we don't have the right habits. We have better habits over here than we do here. And we have relied upon inspiration and guilt to motivate us on this one rather than just doing it. How many people, and don't raise your hand on this one, think it's important to make your bed every day? How many people think it's important to come to church every week? Who's better at making your bed than coming to church? Does this make you bad? Does this make you unspiritual? No, you don't have the same habits that you have over here. How many people think it's important that you take the trash out every week, that you shower or bathe at least every other day? How many people think it's really important that you're in community with others and forgive others? How many people are better at remembering to take out the trash and showering and bathing than they are these other things? Are these things more important? Of course, these are huge, but we've decided to motivate ourselves around those things with trying to be inspired or guilt. I don't have to wake up every day and get pumped up with a podcast or a Bible reading to make me want to brush my teeth. I just do it. And that's the point. That's what Paul is trying to say. That's what Jesus did with his life. There are habits, there are practices that we do that somehow begin to put that stuff into our life, and it becomes more and more automatic. Let me give you one more example. We did it already once today. Hey, may the peace of Christ be with you. How did you know to do that? Did you have to think about that? Did you have to go, I wonder what he's asking? What's that? No, you knew that because that's a habit. That's a practice we have. What would it take to be able to put that into practice for who we are when there is somebody who has wronged us and we are able to say, I forgive you? Or how can I help you? It's the same motion. How do we put that into practice? So what I'm saying this morning is that it is a matter of habits that we're building into. It's practices. And the real power tools, all those tools that we have, and Lord knows that we have way too many tools sitting on our benches at home that are not being used, that we have tried and we've bought, that we got books and we got tools, we got resolutions, and they don't work, not because they're bad and not because we're bad, but we have not connected them to practice. There's still way too much rumor, and they don't live in our bones. James Clear, who writes eloquently in his book Atomic Habits and Others, says, listen, you want some changes? New goals don't deliver results. New lifestyles do. And a lifestyle is not an outcome. It's not a goal. It's a process. And for this reason, all of your energy should go into building better habits, not chasing better results. So when brain science begins to match up with biblical teaching, it seems to me we should pay attention. And that's what I'm holding up this morning. I am suggesting that if we want to be different in 2021, the most important thing you and I can do in 2020 is begin to work on our habits. This week, you pick one of the habits. If you don't have one, pick the one about five acts every day. Just try it, five acts every day, intentionally pushing yourself, of acts of service, of gratitude, and kindness. Just try that. See what that does to you. Will you fail? Of course you fail. But it's a practice. It's assumed. And so forgetting what lies behind, leaning into what lies ahead, I press on, Paul says. I keep practicing. I keep getting better. And this time, maybe I'll go 3 days in a row. Maybe five. Maybe eight. But I'll keep practicing. Because of the goal, the promise. May you experience the love of Christ. And though it's too great to understand fully, and then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. And now, church, may you go and love your neighbor as yourself and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Go in peace.